handle the truth. Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Bill Adams of Alaska. Bill has a very, very interesting biography. He's a member of the post-war baby boom after World War II and came of age during the civil rights struggle of the 50s and 60s and the Vietnam War soon thereafter. The assassination of Jack Kennedy made a huge impact on Bill Adams, and his doubt about the official explanation launched him into a lifelong search for the truth, which has taken him down many paths, from Zen Buddhism to a two-year study of the Quran at the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. In 1984, this self-proclaimed intellectual atheist had what could only be described as a profound Damascus Road experience, which was to change his spiritual life forever. With the advent of the Internet, his search really went into high gear, and after 9/11, it accelerated even more. Bill's now living in rural Alaska with his best friend Buddy, his red-nosed pit bull. He has traded a career as a computer consultant for a simpler way of life, and when he's not hunting, fishing, or chopping firewood for the wood stove, he continues this search, peeling back the layers of the onion and shining in the light of the truth and watching the enemy squirm. You can find Bill Young's website or his blog entitled The Alaska Intel Report, which can be found at alaskaintel.blogspot.com. And among other things, Bill has been a recent guest on John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Well, really good. I've been covering a few news stories in the first hour. I was talking about the Michael New case and the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States denied Mr. New a fair hearing in regard to the issues that he brought to the table. I was talked a little bit this morning about James Tucker's piece at the American Free Press, talking about the collusion of Time Warner with the Postal Rate Commission as far as to trying to put smaller publications out of business. We've talked a little bit about tainted communist Chinese wheat gluten this morning, both in the pet supply and increasingly so in the human food chain, apparently. And then finally, we got into a little bit of what Paul Craig Roberts has underscored about the Iraq War. So those are just a few of the things we've chatted about in the first hour. Where do you think we're headed, Bill, in regard to either these issues or anything else you could mention?
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, I'm really not sure. While I was sitting here thinking about getting ready for the show, I was pulling up, some other items on here, and of course one of them was Mark Glenn's recent article on Paul Fromm up in Canada, a really excellent article. I'm sorry I wasn't able to hear the first hour, but it gave me an opportunity to get in here and do a little bit of digging, and. I was rereading, actually, Mark Glenn's article on here, and, it amazes me. It never ceases to amaze me. I didn't see anything about this article on the mainstream media.
And the title of that piece, for people who are interested in it, if they go to the AmericanFreePress.net site, Mark Glenn's article is entitled Mainstream Mum on Jewish Terror Attack. But go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I kind of thought maybe if we had an opportunity, we'd talk about this morning. And,
sure.
Also, I had pulled up another kind of little-known article, which was an offshoot of the Kennedy assassination article. I'm sure you're familiar with the recent discussions about E. Howard Hunt.
Yes.
And the memos that he had left about his involvement in the Kennedy assassination. But I hear the music in the background, so I guess we'll continue this after the break.
Hey, between the Fromm story and the JFK story, Bill, we got plenty of cannon fodder here to use. We'll be back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Bill Adams of the Alaska Intel Report. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain.
We're back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Bill Adams, and you can find Bill's blog, the Alaska Intel Report, at alaskaintel.blogspot.com. That's alaskaintel.blogspot.com. Before the break, Bill was taking us in the direction of talking about Mark Glenn's article on the Paul Fromm case up in Canada, and also a little bit more about the JFK situation as it relates to some of the recent publicity in the wake of the passing of E. Howard Hunt. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Mark. Before we get too far ahead of myself, I wanted to take a minute here to thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. I was sitting last night thinking about this morning's show, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and for Mark Glenn both for the work that you guys do. And I was, you have such great guests on most of the time, and I thought, geez, you know what in the world am I doing on this guy's show? You know, I mean, if I ever had a radio show, it would probably be called the Joe Sixpack Report because, yeah. You know, I have no area of expertise, unfortunately. You know, just to kind of fill folks in a little bit about who I am and where I'm, you know, where I'm, the point of view that I'm coming from. I came from a really small town in Pennsylvania. It's probably as close to being Mayberry. I don't know if you used to watch Andy Griffith.
Sure did.
On TV. And the town I came from is probably as close to Mayberry as anything you could ever possibly imagine. It's a little town called Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know if you, you know, I know you went, you said you went to the seminary down there in Glenside. Is that
Westminster, correct?
Westminster, right. And Jenkintown's probably about 10 miles from there. It's actually
exactly.
Walking, it's actually walking distance. And nowadays, it's, you know, it's really yuppieville, but when I grew up there, there were three police officers, and everybody knew them on a first-name basis. In fact, my father went to school with two of them. So I can remember when freedom, you know, was real in this country. I can remember what it was like to go to bed at night and not lock your doors. So it really kind of grieves me on you know, real basic level to see what this country has become. And that's kind of what motivated me after the Kennedy assassination. I had some real problems with that. I had some problems with what was going on in the civil rights movement back then and later on with the Vietnam War, which caused me to leave home because my father and I used to get into some really heated discussions. And he used to tell me, well, you'll understand when you're older. And, you know, I'm older and I still don't understand, so. But the point that I was trying to make is that, unfortunately, I came, or fortunately, as the case may be, I came from a kind of a, you know, Irish Catholic, lower middle class background, and I really didn't have the opportunity, you know, to pursue some of my educational goals. But, and I'm not sure I would have if I'd had the opportunity. But it has taken me down some really interesting roads. And one of those has been a lifelong, I got to get this cell phone. Okay. One of them has been this Kennedy thing, this Kennedy assassination thing. And I was reading about the E. Howard Hunt deal. And one of the things that you can find out if you peel that layer back is the LBJ connection to it all. Now, I have an article pulled up here in front of me about a book or memos that were written by Lyndon Johnson's ex-mistress, quoting him in his...
What was her name? Madeline Duncan Brown, I believe?
Yes.
Yes.
Looking at it right here. Yeah, Madeline Duncan Brown was on record stating Johnson was behind the killing of Kennedy and several other men. Brown, in a bound manuscript dated June 22, 2002, in which she said something that I found interesting because for years I had related a story that I had heard about a meeting that had taken place the night before the Kennedy assassination in Dallas, in which reportedly the director of the FBI was there, Lyndon Johnson was there. I was told that Richard Nixon was there.
According to Madeline Duncan Brown, Richard Nixon was there. Clint Murchison was there, according to Ms. Brown.
Exactly. Now, she says that it took place out in, I think, where Clint Murchison's place. The story that I had heard for years and years that it took place at one of the largest hotels in Dallas, and that they had, you know, had taken the whole top floor and all that kind of thing. But I had repeatedly heard this link between Lyndon Johnson and the Kennedy assassination. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Billy Saul Estes affair as it related to Lyndon Johnson's involvement, and I was told that Johnson was very, very close to being indicted in the Billy Saul Estes affair, and that was one of the reasons for the Kennedy assassination. But I was reading the article this morning, and I found it very interesting. You know, the one of the things that fascinates me about the Kennedy assassination is that he had so many people mad at him that it's almost impossible to, you know, to sort this whole thing out and decide who actually, in fact, was responsible, or if it was a cooperative effort on the part of several of his enemies. I know he had the CIA mad at him because he had threatened to, you know, disassemble the CIA and cast it to the four winds, to quote his supposedly his words. And, you know, he had the Federal Reserve mad at him because of, you know, his executive order with the American bank note, where he said the American government could do their own bank notes and didn't have to borrow the money from the Federal Reserve system. So he had them mad at him. He had the Israelis mad at him because he wouldn't give them our atomic energy and atomic weapons, and they wanted that very badly. So there are so many people that were mad at Jack Kennedy that it amazes me that he lasted as long as he did. But anyway, that's one of the things that I thought we might kick around a little bit, because I didn't know, you know, what your background was, if you had any other information.
Well, and I've done some reading on the Kennedy assassination. You know, going back, I was as I've said before on this show, I was in the third grade at the time JFK was killed. I was going to an elementary school, Floyd Elementary School in Montgomery, Alabama. My father was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force at that time. He was doing a year's residency at the Air War College, what is now called Air University, at Maxwell Air Force Base. And the day Kennedy was killed, of course, I remember being let out of school. And as I was walking home from Floyd Elementary School there in Montgomery to where my folks lived on Wilmington Drive there, I was hearing all kinds of things in the street, of course, in regard to what had happened. And for me, interestingly enough, a real turning point in that weekend was on Sunday when my brother and I were watching TV reports, and we witnessed what many millions of Americans at the time witnessed, which was Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald to death. And fascinatingly enough for me, Bill, I was 8 years old at the time. My brother is now my brother then was 12. He's now a trial attorney, University of Texas Law School grad. I'm, of course, a Lutheran pastor and a radio broadcaster. And I remember my 12-year-old brother turning to me and saying something that Gerald Ford and a few other people should have taken to heart at the time. And my brother turned to me and he said, "Boy, somebody wanted to shut that guy's mouth," meaning Oswald's. And a 12-year-old kid and an 8-year-old boy perceived immediately that something had to be wrong with this whole thing. I mean, just on a prima facie basis, the idea that you would have a presidential assassin in custody, in police custody, and that he would be blown away on national television while in police custody during a transfer operation to take him to another location, and that all this could be filmed in front of millions of people, just inherently said that something else was going on other than what the Warren Commission said was going on a year later. And I think for most of us who are old enough to remember those events at all, those of us who thought at all about it, kind of underwent the same odyssey that you did, Bill. There was something about that event that changed our lives and that forever changed the way we looked at our culture and the way we looked at our government. And for many of us, it began a lifelong search to try and determine, as it were, maybe the larger political, historical, and existential meaning, as it were, of that situation in the fall of 1963. A lot of folks that I know who really are very deep political and philosophical and historical thinkers will go back to that as a real watershed period for them.
Absolutely. And I've been telling people for 25 or 30 years at least that I'm absolutely convinced that the government of the United States was overthrown on that day in November of 1963 with the assassination of President John Kennedy.
I don't think there's any question about it. And the latest stuff that we're reading about where it pertains to E. Howard Hunt simply underscores that. We'll be back with Bill Adams of the Alaska Intel Report. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Bill Adams. Bill has his Alaska Intel report, and you can find that blog at alaskaintel.blogspot.com. Been talking about a series of news stories in the first hour of the show, the Michael New case, what James Tucker has had to tell us about the collusion of Time Warner with the Postal Regulatory Commission, as far as trying to put small publications out of business. We looked a little bit at the wheat gluten story, the contaminated wheat gluten story, as that continues to unfold, related to communist Chinese contamination, not only of pet food, but now the way in which, according to even CNN.com, there is evidence that that wheat gluten situation from China is beginning to sneak its way into the human food chain. And then, of course, we briefly examined Paul Craig Roberts and what he has said ongoingly about Mr. Bush's effort in Iraq. But since we've had Bill Adams on, we've been chatting a little bit about the Kennedy assassination. A little bit later, we'll talk about the Paul Fromm story up in Canada. But, Bill, back to this whole thing of John Kennedy. You know, you were saying before the break that it seems to be a multi-tiered conspiratorial effort. I basically agree with that. I was able to attend a few of the House Assassination Subcommittee hearings in D.C. back in the late 70s.
And I've read some of the better books on the Kennedy assassination, Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy, which has now been reissued as Not in Your Lifetime. I've read David Lifton's book, Best Evidence, Jim Marr's book, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy. I've read Mark Lane's Rush to Judgment and later Plausible Denial. I think Mike Piper's book, Final Judgment, ties the various threads of this plot together in a way that, for me, is the most comprehensive and the most cohesive. I do believe that the Israelis were the basic, most significant player behind the whole thing. And, of course, we can that's something that's debatable, certainly. But I accept Piper's thesis on this after having read his book. But certainly it was a multi-layered situation. And I think with Lyndon Johnson, there are, in my view, there's plenty of prima facie evidence that suggests that personally he was more than willing to be involved in whatever the other plotters wanted because it benefited him. And that would perhaps be the ultimate truism about the 36th president of the United States. What do you think?
I probably agree with you about 98%, and I'm not entirely sure the other 2% that I would argue with you about. I guess my primary interest in the Johnson aspect of it is because back during the time that I was, you know, active in the anti-Vietnam movement, Johnson was still the president because Nixon hadn't come in yet. And as I was reading this article this morning, and I really haven't had a chance to vet this article yet because I just discovered it about an hour ago, the fellow that had written this thing said, unknown to the general United States public and never mentioned in United States textbooks, is the fact that the Texas grand jury officially indicted and found Lyndon Baines Johnson guilty as a co-conspirator in the following 9 murders: the killing of Henry Marshall, the killing of George Kretelnik, the killing of Ike Rogers and his secretary, the killing of Harold Orr, the killing of Coleman Wade, the killing of Josepha Johnson, his own sister, the killing of John Kintzner, and, of course, the killing of Jack Kennedy. And I didn't know that, and I haven't ever come across the book that he cites, which is a book that was supposedly entitled Farewell America, The Plot to Kill JFK. And there is an ISBN number there that I'll be happy to give you later on if you ever think you could come across a copy of this thing.
Sure.
But Johnson was definitely a bad, bad guy. I mean, you know, part of it, I remember the Billy Saul Estes part and the part while he was the president. And I you know, I know that Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover were very tight, you know, back in those days. But this fellow said that, you know, of course, Jimmy Hoffa, who had sometimes, you know, gotten some of the heat, he was absolutely not involved in it, and he mentions a few other people like Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who had attempted to conduct some kind of an investigation and who had been kind of thwarted. But I just found the whole thing very interesting. It comes out in dribs and drabs and that sort of thing, but I really didn't want to spend, you know, an inordinate amount of time on this, but I just found these articles interesting, and slowly but surely, maybe 100 years from now, you know, we'll manage to get all the information out.
Well, I could tell one Lyndon Johnson story over the air that maybe illustrates your point, Bill. My father's a retired Air Force colonel and worked in the Middle East with the Lockheed Corporation, both in Iran and Saudi Arabia, for years after he got out of the Air Force. He was a logistical advisor first to the Shah's Air Force and then later to the Royal Saudi Air Force. And back in the early 80s, when my father was working in Saudi Arabia, I was finishing up seminary in Chicago, and I'd come across David Lifton's book, Best Evidence. My father had always been pretty much a defender of the Warren Commission. Whether he actually believed that stuff or not, I don't know, but I think he had at least a personal and professional reason to want to believe it. I sent him Lifton's book. He loaned it to a friend in Saudi, and I'll finish the story when we come back. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Bill Adams of the Alaska Intel Report. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
We're back. This is Mark Ancosh, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Bill Adams, who has his Alaska Intel report. You can find that online at alaskaintel.blogspot.com. That's alaskaintel.blogspot.com. Bill, before the break, I was talking about this story going back to the early 80s when my dad was working in Saudi Arabia for the Saudi Air Force. And I was reading, finishing up the reading of David Lifton's book, Best Evidence. I managed to put this in a package and mailed it to my dad through an APO, American APO address that he had in Saudi Arabia that was secure. And I sent him Lifton's book, and my dad, who had always been an advocate of the Warren Commission, read the book. And as he was reading the book on his lunch hour, one of his work colleagues saw him reading the book, and he said to my dad, "Boy, where'd you get that, Carl?" And my dad said, "Well, my son mailed it to me from Chicago." And this guy that worked with my dad on a regular basis over there was someone who had known Lyndon Johnson really well. He had been a Johnson appointee to a particular federal agency that I won't mention over the air. But the guy expressed a real interest in reading Lifton's book. And my dad asked the guy
he says to this fellow, hey, you know, I've heard people say for years that they believe that Kennedy's death was a conspiracy. He said, I've heard a lot of people suggest that Lyndon Johnson had something to do with it. Since you knew the guy, what's your take on that? And my father fully expected this guy to say, well, that's nonsense. There's no way he could have been involved in something like that. I knew the guy. He appointed me to this job. You know, this is just bunk and so forth and so on. But the guy said something very interesting to my father. He said, well, he said, Carl, as you know, I knew Johnson pretty well. And he said, I have no information, direct information, that would prove that he had advanced knowledge of the Kennedy killing or was involved in it. But he said, I can tell you one thing. As a human being, I think he was entirely capable of having been involved. The guy was evil. My dad was totally taken aback by this. He later told me the story, and I think it illustrates at a bare minimum what many people have perceived about Lyndon Johnson for a long time, and that is that we're not talking about a nice man here.
Absolutely. And as much as I disliked at the time and still do Richard Nixon, I think that Lyndon Johnson was considerably more evil and a whole lot smarter than Richard Nixon. I don't know if you're aware of it, but in 1984, Billy Saul Estes' lawyer, Douglas Caddy, had written a letter on behalf of his client to the U.S. Department of Justice. And in the letter, Caddy wrote that Estes claimed that he had proof that former LBJ assistant Cliff Carter had gathered enough evidence to prove that LBJ had ordered the eight people killed, including Kennedy. And because he was seeking immunity, forgiveness of back taxes, lifting of parole restrictions, and presidential pardon. And although the Justice Department responded with a list of particulars, nothing ever did come of it. But that's 1984, you know, which is, you know, it's 20 years later. So,
yes.
You know, I find the whole thing interesting. And, of course, you know, Madeleine Brown said that Johnson had admitted to her. In her words, she said, it's all true. Pick up the phone and call Caddy, Bill, you know, Billy Saul Estes' attorney. And she said, well, everybody in Dallas knew it. It was general gossip in the business community that Lyndon Johnson was responsible for the JFK murders. And she said, I asked him, now, Lyndon, you got to tell me. You got to talk to me. Were you involved in the Kennedy disease? And when she asked him that, he screamed and hollered, and I was really frightened because he told me many years before that you don't see, you don't hear, you don't repeat anything. And finally he said, you know the people that I know, talking about the oil people and the intelligence community, they did it. So
yes. Well, in my view, and again, this is hardly to suggest that I am either inerrant or the last word on this subject, obviously. There are many more qualified people than I to discuss the Kennedy killing, but my own perception is that Johnson certainly was capable of having been involved. I certainly think that after the fact, at a bare minimum, after the fact, Johnson and a series of other people, including Gerald Ford and Arlen Specter, had to have known the real truth about the whole situation, or at least most of it, along with Richard Helms and J. Edgar Hoover and a few other people. But to me, when I look at the Johnson situation, certainly whatever his foreknowledge may have been, whatever his involvement before the fact may have been, I don't think that Johnson or some of the other people that are listed, for example, in Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy, now titled Not in Your Lifetime. Summers has three or four constituencies identified there, and the names of specific people with all of the corroboration that you could ask for, that paints a web and a picture of a much larger plot in regard to the events that took place in Dallas. I would suspect that the nature of that plot goes beyond even what Summers suggested, and I think Michael Collins Piper has provided the additional information on that through Final Judgment. But I also think that Lyndon Johnson, in and of himself, could not have been a party to something like this, if he was, without the real players behind the scenes, the real power behind the throne, having put these wheels into motion. I think Johnson was a very willing front man for the real players pulling the real strings. That's my best guess.
I think that's probably a pretty accurate estimation. The thing to me that fascinates me so much about the Kennedy assassination, as I'd said, are there are so many people that would have been very, very happy to see Jack Kennedy, you know, terminated, and Johnson was just one of them. There were tons of them there, but. Like I said, I don't want to spend an inordinate amount of time on this thing, but I thought that was interesting. And as I read it this morning, you know, the list just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, in some respects, it reminds me that, what was that movie, 7 Days in May?
Yes.
It's just how many times in this nation's history have things like this taken place and people never even, they're just clueless. It just, you know, the media doesn't pick it up, and, you know, you get the official line that comes out, the propaganda, and people buy it because they don't know. They don't have any independent sources. And I haven't had the opportunity to read Mike Piper's books, but I'll tell you what, I'm getting ready to send off for a couple of those and possibly some of Mark Glenn's stuff. Because
well, I think both of those guys, the books that both of them have penned are entirely worthwhile, and I get not one penny for endorsing either fellow or either fellow's books. And but I've profited by reading both. As far as Piper's book, Final Judgment, I've got a review of that book on my website at markdankoff.com, which would give you some preliminary information in regard to what's in it. But I would still, of course, recommend that you obtain and read the entire book because it really, I think, puts the additional pieces of the puzzle into place for me. As I've said, I have read a number of the what are considered to be the best books on the Kennedy assassination leading up to the time that Michael published Final Judgment. And after reading Final Judgment, I became convinced that he had ultimately made a very strong, compelling case for the fact that Israel was the ultimate player in the entire situation. And it makes sense to me not simply in terms of the data that he presents. And I think here we're dealing with both the Federal Reserve Board issue as well as the issue of Ben-Gurion and what was going on at Dimona with the Israeli nuclear program. But when you think about it, in the aftermath of Kennedy's death, who would have the authority and the contacts to keep this thing quiet in the news media? That's where I think that the overwhelming Jewish ownership of American corporate news media would come into play in this story. I also think that Piper does a good job of showing the direct links between people like Meyer Lansky and Ben-Gurion on the one hand, and people like James Jesus Angleton and the American intelligence community on the other, as well as a series of others who undoubtedly played a role in what happened to JFK. And again, to me, both before the fact as well as after the fact, this whole issue of Zionist infiltration of media and government and the American intelligence community would go a long way toward explaining how this could have been pulled off, because you would need that triad. You would need the intelligence community. You would need the news media. You would need the central banking circles, presumably, in order to pull something like this off, and Israel would be the common thread with all of them.
Absolutely, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Michael's work. Michael Collins Piper is, you know, one of the heroes to me, in my opinion. He's one of the two programs that, if it's at all possible, that I never miss on RBN. You know, in addition to John's program, John Stadtmiller's program, and you would be included in that list if it wasn't for the time difference.
Yeah, for people living in California, Hawaii, and Alaska can be forgiven for not getting up at the hour that you would have to get up for to listen to my show from its inception. So I hear you.
Well, I enjoy your show tremendously. By the way, it's getting light out now. But as I was saying, Michael Collins Piper, to me, has done just so much, you know, really, really great work to bring about and to expose a lot of the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes that you'll never read about in the paper. And part of what I admired about him was the Holocaust conference and, you know, some of the information that he brought back from Iran on Ahmadinejad. But he's one of my heroes. What can I say?
Well, that's right. He's one of mine, too. And Mike Piper, from the time that I first became acquainted with him online, has been nothing less than supportive and gracious to me. He's done so many things for me behind the scenes in recent years, I can't even begin to list them. And then, like Mark Glenn, both of these guys who've been super helpful to me, I think have just been in the forefront of the alternative media movement from a responsible, populist, old America right perspective. And that, of course, is a perspective you're not going to see anywhere in the mainstream press. And because of this, it seems to me that AFP and RBN are about the only hope that we have that we can continue to disseminate the information that we do, because no matter how good Mark Glenn's research is, no matter how good Mike Piper's research is, if they don't have the appropriate vehicles through which to dispense the information, it's going no farther than they. And that, to me, is where AFP and RBN come in, because we then disseminate what they research and what they tell us. And again, when I read their articles ongoingly, it's absolutely shocking what they uncover. It's absolutely shocking that even a corporately controlled media could systematically keep this stuff out of even being mentioned on page 39 in the classified section. That's just the level of control that these people have.
Absolutely. It blows my mind. You'd think that somebody, somewhere, as many people are involved in journalism in this country, and I actually went to school. I don't know if you know who Rod Nordland is. Rod Nordland works or did for a long time, worked for Newsweek, and he was actually their Baghdad bureau chief at one time. And Rod and I grew up maybe half a dozen houses apart in Jacobtown at the time. And you know, there are so many people involved in journalism in this country. You'd think somebody, you know, would get a hold of this and get it out. But I understand, you know, how intimidating it can be when you go up against, you know, the mass media, because they can end your career overnight. I mean, literally overnight. If you know, all you have to do is say the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong people, and the party's over. Your entire life, your entire career is ended.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, in recent years, you know, going all the way back in my life to when Howard Phillips talked me into doing this U.S. Senate race in Delaware in 2000, in the years that followed that, I've had a number of interesting experiences I won't go into on the air. But just in these last 6 or 7 years, between that political race and then some of the book reviews that I was doing for Breaking All the Rules News, and then, of course, in more recent times also being on RBN, it does expose one to situations that are very difficult for the average member of the public to understand or to perceive. And, you know, when you look at the folks that are really on the forefront of this whole thing, Mike Piper is one, Mark Glenn is certainly another. I think of what Frosty Wooldridge and Wanda Piotti have been doing with this truckers protest. You know, when you start ratcheting things up to that level, you're going to draw a certain amount of attention. And the amount of attention that one draws can range from merely being ostracized by one's peers, professional peers, to a situation to where you can place a job security in jeopardy. And even above and beyond that, we then get into the sort of thing that you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation with what Paul Fromm went through up in Canada with this actual physical assault that he received at the hands of the Jewish Defense League.
Absolutely. And part of, you know, the other side of the coin of what I was just talking about is that not only do they have the power to destroy you or to spin news or to put out stories to destroy you, but when things like happened to Paul Fromm in Canada, they also have the power to put a lid on that so that no one will ever find out about it. And that's part of what makes the media, so the control of the media, so chilling, so scaring, so intimidating, you know, I'm sure, to people that are involved in journalism.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, to me, I am aware of no other journalistic outlet in America other than the American Free Press that covered this JDL attack on Paul Fromm up there in Toronto. And, of course, Mark Glenn wrote the story. If it's appeared anywhere else, again, I would stand to be corrected, but I'm unaware of it.
Well, I haven't seen it. The only other place that I saw mentioned of it, and I suspect that they may have even linked back to AFP, was on Rumor Mill News. And while I don't, you know, I don't take everything that I read on Rumor Mill News, you know, as the gospel by any means, I will give them credit for bringing out things that you probably won't find anywhere anywhere else. But it's just, you know, the control of the media in this country just disgusts me. And you, remember, you're talking to somebody who voted for Bush here in 99, his first,
2000.
Yeah, but I mean, in 99, I was actually, if you can believe this, running a pal talk, a pro-Bush pal talk room.
Well, I have a few mea culpas to pronounce when we come back that go back a little bit further in my own relationship with Mr. Bush to when I voted for him one time alone, when he was running for Texas governor against Ann Richards. We'll take up some of these things with Bill Adams when we come back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
Ah. Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back. This is Mark Gankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Bill Adams of the Alaska Intel Report, just kicking around some ideas and news stories today. wanted to mention a few of the books that I'm reading that I would recommend to really anybody who's interested in some of the things that we chat about on this show. I've been trying to make my way through Dr. Chalmers Johnson's trilogy on empire, and we had him on the show some weeks ago. Those books are, among others, entitled Blowback and The Sorrows of Empire and Nemesis, something to the effect of The End of the American Republic, something to that effect. Nemesis is the main title of, or the main portion of that last book in the trilogy. I've also been taking a look at Kevin McDonald's book, The Culture of Critique. He's been involved in a lot of controversy, of course, out there at California State University in Long Beach. This Culture of Critique is quite a book, by the way. If you want to learn a lot of things from a very, very fine academic perspective on the whole question of Judaism and Jewish culture and the Israeli lobby, this book would be for you. It goes on for, let's see here. At least I'm going to say 500 pages or so, well over 400 anyway. And then there is Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, which I have now finished. A lot of really good information in that one. And then Mark Glenn's book that is out with the American Free Press is well worth your time. And it's entitled No Beauty in the Beast, Israel Without Her Mascara. That's Mark Glenn's book. And actually, you can find that through JTB Publications with the Barnes Review of Washington, D.C. And there's a toll-free number with that, 877-773-9077. That's 877-773-9077. So between Mark Glenn and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Kevin McDonald and Chalmers Johnson, I've been trying to keep abreast of some of these books so that we can have some ongoing conversations on some of these subjects that relate to some really informed opinion, where I rely on some very bright people to inform me, and then I utilize what they have done in enlightening me to help the rest of us along in our conversations. Bill, we've been chatting a little bit about a number of things in this last hour. Wanted to warn you that we have some frequent commercial breaks here in the next 10 minutes or so. So don't be surprised if the music comes up two or three times in the next 10 minutes or so. But in regard to this Paul Fromm case up there in Canada, he was physically assaulted by members of the Jewish Defense League. And, of course, Mark Glenn's piece on this for the American Free Press will give listeners the basic information as to what happened. What do you make of this Fromm case? What do you think the implications of it are?
Well, just by way of a tip of the hat to you, you do manage to get the best guests on here. How I ended up here, I'll never understand. But I've been listening to your show, and I was listening to Mike Rivera the other day, and I was sitting here thinking to myself, boy, if I could get your guest list and Deanne Burley's Rolodex, I'd be in good shape. But as far as the Paul Fromm thing, I don't think this is an isolated incident. It may be isolated in the sense that the information got out on it. But
there's the infamous music. We'll be back. Hold that thought, Bill. We'll be right back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we return, we're going to be talking to Bill Adams of the Alaska Intel Report about the JDL's assault of Paul Fromm up in Canada and what it means. Stay tuned.